something back on you. Going home now to stay. The senoritas don't care when there's no dinero. I got no money to stay. Adios and bye con Dios. Drive up by the lake and put my ass in a lawn chair, toes in the clay. Not a worry in the world, a PBR on the way. Life is good today.
Life is good today.
Life is good today.
There we go.
Nothing wrong with putting a chair in the lake, putting your toes in the water.
Yeah, man.
Just kick back. Sounds nice. Okay, I'm leaving.
Oh, yeah. I'm out of here. I'm heading to my destination.
I convinced myself I'm going. But not until I chat with the CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security Medicare, Max Rickman, back with us. Been a while. Hey, Max, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Good morning.
Good to have you back.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Now, why is it every time we got you back, it's not good news? Come on, Max. I want to hear good news. I want to hear Social Security is thriving and it's going to be here, and not about Plan Eagle. What is it?
Well, there is good news about Social Security, and the trustees of the program issued their report a few weeks ago, as they do every spring. The program is able to pay everybody all the benefits they're expecting until the year 2035, and then there'll be a shortfall of about 20% unless some things change in the law, and there are some possible changes I think it could remedy that. But you know, we're getting salvo after salvo of, I think, attacks on the program. The last one was a few weeks ago about another proposal in the context of one of these stimulus plans.
Okay.
That would allow Americans to receive checks up to $5,000, but that would be in exchange for delaying some of their Social Security benefits. And I do believe this is designed to dismantle the Social Security program, and it's being done really under the guise of helping working people. And the real truth is, workers today are going to need every penny of their future Social Security benefits, and postponing their right to claim Social Security when they need it for their retirement or in the case of disability, for survivors' benefits,
right.
That just doesn't make sense. So we've been hearing these efforts to reduce the Social Security revenue for quite a while now from the very top. President Trump has been talking about it for years, for a couple of years, emphasizing more and more during this pandemic that we need to cut the payroll tax, apparently recognizing that the payroll tax is the lifeblood of the Social Security program. It's what keeps the program sound and able to pay beneficiaries.
Does anybody... Oh, man.
I can totally see people going, well, actually, I could use that $5,000 right now.
Oh, yeah. But you're gonna curb your retirement benefits down the road. And if we see the numbers say that a staggering amount of people who are going to retire, Social Security is their only source of income.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's absolutely right. And you know, when you take into account the fact that we have such a horrible unemployment right now. What does that mean? It means less money going into Social Security. People aren't paying payroll tax if they're not being paid. So we've got that development happening, notwithstanding any policy change by the federal government. You know, I watched the Republican primary debates for president in 2016. I think there were 17 candidates running. The only candidate who said, I will not touch the Social Security program, and he said it time and again, was then candidate, now president, Donald Trump. By proposing to cut the payroll tax, he's doing a lot more than touching Social Security. He's strangling it. The program is operated, is financed by a dedicated revenue stream, and that's the payroll tax. And now is not the time, and never really is the time, to cut the revenue into the program. We ought to be looking at ways to bring more revenue into the program so that that 2035 date is not reached when Social Security will not be able to pay pay full benefits.
So, that's 15
you know, this
years
is backwards
from now.
Thinking in my mind, and I think in a lot of people's minds.
Wow. So have you managed to speak to somebody in the administration on behalf of the Committee to Preserve Social Security, Medicare, and say,
we've written to all members of Congress, okay. House and Senate. I've written several letters to the president urging him to back off of this proposal. Of course, I didn't get a response from the White House. No surprise there. And moreover, we have been working in a coalition. We have enlisted, I think, almost 20 groups, advocacy groups, some labor unions, to join with us in their efforts. And I think we're finally getting through to the Congress. Fortunately, in New Hampshire, you have two senators. I know them well, Senator Shaheen, Senator Hassan. You can't find any stronger supporters of protecting the Social Security program and Medicare and Medicaid than those two senators. So you're lucky in your state to have such strong supporters of the program. I'm hoping they'll push back on this idea. You know, already under current law, the first stimulus proposal included a provision. I don't know how many people are aware of this. That defers, not eliminates, but defers the employer portion of the payroll tax for the rest of this year. It's got to be paid back half of it next year, half the following year. That's already weakening the program. We don't need to go any further than that, and I'm hoping that the Congress will reject some of these, I call them harebrained ideas. It's not the first time. About a year and a half ago, we saw the president's daughter, Ivanka Trump, key senators like Senator Marco Rubio of Florida. They offered another plan similar to what's being talked about now. It would allow parents to sacrifice some of their future Social Security benefits and exchange, use that money for paid family leave. The bottom line for people who care about Social Security, it should not be used for any program unrelated to its core purpose, and that's providing income security for American workers, retirees, disabled, and their families.
You wouldn't think that would be a hard sell, would you, Max?
You know, you wouldn't think it would be a hard sell, but, you know, we're dealing in an environment now which is unique. And if there's anything that this White House is good at, it's sowing confusion, and I think they're counting on that confusion to help propel some of these ideas that I think are not in the best interests of the American people.
All right, now we've got, you know the number better than I do, about 300,000 Social Security beneficiaries in the state. Is that about right?
I think that's about right.
Okay.
200, and to be exact, 306,000.
Okay.
My last count, and 296,000 Medicare beneficiaries. The average benefit is a little over $1,600 a month. You're not living in the lap of luxury on $1,600 a month. And out of that, you've got to pay your Medicare part, your premiums for Medicare automatically deducted, and everything else. you know, one thing I often find people are not aware of is the money people spend, that $1,635 that's that they get per month in New Hampshire from Social Security, it goes right back into the economy.
Right.
People, as you pointed out, many people, most people are living either entirely or mostly on their Social Security. This money is not invested. It's not
right.
Sent to accounts in the Cayman Islands. It's filed back right into the economy. And so Social Security boosts the economy. It's what we need. We need that to be part of any stimulus effort to get our economy back on track.
Is there anything that those 306,000 recipients in New Hampshire can do to voice their opposition to, as you put it, this harebrained scheme?
Well, I think the legislation that we support in the Senate, it's been introduced by one of your neighbors, Senator Blumenthal of Connecticut, Senator Van Hollen of Maryland. It would make an adjustment to the cap on wages subject to the payroll tax. It changes a little bit every year. This year, it's $137,700. After that, no more payroll tax. Why? The legislation, I hope your senators and your members of the House, Congressman Pappas and Congresswoman Annie Custer will support, would keep the cap at what it is and start collecting payroll tax when someone reaches $400,000 in wages and above. That would bring in enough revenue to extend that 2035 deadline for solvency for full benefits to be paid for the rest of this century, would allow for a more generous minimum benefit, maybe about $70 a month. That's not a huge amount, but if you're living mostly or entirely on Social Security, that is a lot. And it would have a more adequate and accurate cost of living adjustment, the COLA, that Social Security beneficiaries receive most years. So I think, if anything, we ought to be looking at that as a proposal to support the long-term solvency of Social Security, to enhance it and expand the benefits. We shouldn't be looking at any of these proposals seriously that would, as I said, strangle the program by reducing the amount of revenue it needs to pay full benefits.
Well, you got your hands full, Max, so keep us posted, because you're in the belly of the beast. And just as a footnote, we don't consider Connecticut a neighbor. They're like a third cousin once removed geographically. So, you know.
Okay, I stand corrected.
Just, you know, it's Connecticut. What can I tell you? But, yeah, you've got your hands full. And you know, we keep talking on the show. We've been doing it for years about the need to put some money aside. And, you know, you're not going to have $1 million to retire on, but try to retire debt-free, because that's a huge draw. And if you can put a little bit of money away, great. But just have Social Security as your monthly income, you cannot afford to have any blips with Social Security.
Well, I couldn't agree more. It's such a good point you just raised. When President Roosevelt created the program, he talked about Social Security as one leg of a three-legged stool, the other two being personal savings and defined benefit pensions. Defined benefit pensions are largely a thing of the past, and most people have not adequately saved. They should, you just pointed out. But I'm told, I saw some figures in the midst of this pandemic, that most Americans couldn't come up with $500 for an emergency. Mm-hmm. So that leg of a three-legged stool, being Social Security, is more important than ever.
True. No, absolutely. That's why we keep bringing you back. So you keep us posted. You have Brad get a hold of us when needs be, and we'll get you on the air to talk about it, Max.
No, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure.
All right. Stay well.
You too.
All right. Max Rickman, CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. And that's his only axe to grind, just to keep Social Security afloat. And you heard, if they don't do anything, we're good until 2035. And right now, in 2036, then they'll fund 80% of what you're getting paid. So if you're getting $1,500 a month now through 2035, then
right,
it drops to,
you could do the math,
then, yeah, so
80% of that,
you know, a stupid idea. Stop. No, it is a stupid idea. Borrowing against it, hey, take the money now and defer. Oh,
fully.
Sounds like a great idea now. Mm-hmm. But when you're 78 years old and don't have that proverbial pot, I mean, come on. So No, stupid idea. 7:48 is the time. We'll take a break, and we'll be back.